Year-old brother. Sergeant Dwayne English says it happened last night while the mother was in another room. He says when the mother found the toddler, she called police and responding officers rushed the boy to the hospital where he died.
There is just such a sense of humanity in incidents like this for both the people that are truly, you know, the family and the people directly involved in this incident, and also, frankly, our officers that respond. We are all human beings, and this has definitely taken a toll on everyone involved.
Children and Family Services are said to be working with police on the case. The Venice Film Festival closing out today with Pedro Almodovar's English language debut, The Room Next Door, winning the festival's Golden Lion Award. It stars Julianne Moore and Tilda Swinton. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Almost Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
We have older Wisconsinites that are choosing either limiting their supply of their prescriptions, or they literally are taking resources that are used to pay for other essentials to sometimes cover the cost.
Last month, the Biden administration unveiled price reduction agreements for their first group of Medicare-covered drugs included in negotiations with manufacturers. The lower cost of those drugs takes effect in 2026. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny, low 60s today. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 42. Mostly sunny, with a high near 73 on Sunday. It'll also be quite breezy out of the west. For Sunday night, clear 47. Sunny and warmer Monday, 80.
Right now, it's 62.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane Matinere returns to the big chair, and we are talking about the election because we are less than 2 months away, people. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you. Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here, Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting across Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. We are always trying to move the state forward. I am honored and privileged to have Assemblyperson Jody Emerson join us. She has been active leader, you know, breaking the ceiling, breaking the glass ceilings, out there leading the charge out of Eau Claire, right out in the middle of purple Wisconsin. Hello, Jody.
Hey, Mark, how you doing today?
I am doing great. So, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience as a rep, and what's different about 2024?
2024 is going to be very different. I apologize. My cat is joining the podcast now.
That's quite so, all right. Let the cat go. I think there is an ad I've been watching, something about cats, right?
Well, I was going to say, I'm an empty nest cat lady, but not a childless cat lady. So a little bit about myself. Born and raised in Eau Claire. I've been married to my husband for 32, 31 years now. We've got two grown daughters, and we just added two grandchildren to our family this year.
Wow,
so
congratulations.
It has been so much fun, I gotta say. I never, you know, I hear about how much fun being a grandparent is, but it's a blast because as soon as they get cranky, you can send them home, which is wonderful. So, but yeah, I was first elected in 2018 to the Wisconsin Assembly. And we've seen some changes throughout Wisconsin in the last few years. And in this last session, I was actually the northernmost elected Democrat in the state of Wisconsin, which if you know the geography of Wisconsin, well, you know that there's an entire congressional district north of Eau Claire. So that was really sad. And, you know, I was kind of like this little tiny blue dot in a vast sea of red around here. But thanks to the election of Justice Janet and the work by Governor Evers, we now have fairer maps in Wisconsin, and the legislature is going to look a whole lot different. So my maps before didn't go outside of the city of Eau Claire. It was a really, really tightly packed district of Dems. Now I have a corner of Eau Claire, and then I have a lot of eastern Eau Claire County. So I have Altoona, Fall Creek, Augusta. I've got all or part of 8 school districts now in my district, including some corn stalks and some farms and some cows. And it's a lot more spread out than it used to be. So we are, while this makes my district harder, or the 91st Assembly District a lot harder, the balance of that is that we're going to be able to pick up one, if not two seats, actually, in the Chippewa Valley for Democrats. And, you know, that's, we're really excited about that, because if we can flip two seats in this area, that means we're going to pick up other seats around the state. And I think we've got a real shot at taking back the assembly this year. You know, for many elections now, I felt like, you know, Lucy and Charlie Brown holding the football, that, you know, we're going to take it back. We're going to take it back. And it always gets pulled away at the end. But I really think that we've got the opportunity to take back the assembly this year for Democrats. And then what that means for the state is we can start having the conversations about things that matter to the average person. Because what we know is that the party in charge actually is the one who brings the bills to the committees, brings the bills to the floors. And so that's the level of conversation that happens, is dependent on what the majority party wants. Well, if the Democrats are in charge, you better believe that we're going to be having conversations about expanding Medicaid and making sure that a woman has the right to choose in Wisconsin, and making sure that we've got adequate housing and medical care and all these things that I'm hearing at the doors every single day.
You know, let's just dig into a couple of those issues. You've been out there trying to get legislation passed for women's rights. Why don't you tell folks what you've been doing? I mean, you know, because that's one of these bills that has never had a hearing and has never gotten to the floor, and no one's really heard about it. So what is it?
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's the Building Families Act. Myself and Senator Kelda Royz have put this out two sessions in a row now, which would actually protect IVF. And like I said, we've done this for two sessions now. So before IVF really got into the, you know, the heart of the political discussion, we were talking about being able to protect it and make it something that would be a covered service under people's insurance. And we thought, you know, what better way to start than with people who work for the state of Wisconsin? Let's make sure that their insurance is covering not only fertility treatments, but fertility protections. So, you know, people who maybe have testicular cancer and have to go in to get treatment for that, let's make sure that they can preserve their fertility by storing sperm for use later on, things like that. This is obviously a medical situation, so why wouldn't an insurance company cover it? Other states are doing this. Illinois does this for all of their insurance companies, all of their workers, not just those that work for the state. And I thought, you know, naively, I guess, when we first brought this bill out, I thought, well, this could be something that we can come together on. Surely Republicans want to see us be able to grow families in Wisconsin. And we have never been able to get a single Republican to sign on as a co-sponsor of this legislation. So now that apparently former President Trump is all for protecting IVF and, you know, is going to have the government pay for it or insurance pay for it, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen this coming year and whether we're going to have some Republicans, you know, jumping on board or not. So,
well, you know, I think I wouldn't assume for a minute that that Trump will actually stand by women on that issue. So I think the fact that you've been out there leading the way, recognizing that there are folks that are coming after women's rights and a woman's ability. And frankly, it's, you know, IVF, that is not just a woman's issue. It's everybody that wants to have a family. And there are a lot of people that rely on IVF. And, you know, there are Republicans to the far right that want to go after people's rights and outlaw it. So, I mean, I think, you know, that's power to you for being out there.
Thank you. And I think, I mean, you know, just as much as I stand for a person's ability to have an abortion when they deem it necessary in their life, I'm also going to fight for the chance for them to expand their family whenever they deem it right as well. Because as soon as we start taking those rights away, we stop people from being the whole person that they were intended to be. And I know a lot of people right now are talking about how, you know, we shouldn't be talking about abortion. Everything is about kitchen table issues and how much it costs for everything. But I mean, I don't know about your family, Mark, but with my family, when we had kids, that was a financial issue. There is no other bigger financial issue that you can have, I think, in your life than when and if to have children, because of the cost of, you know, diapers and food, and you need a bigger house and you need a bigger car, and there's daycare, and, you know, now you need to save up for college. It is probably one of the most expensive decisions anybody can ever make. So when and if to have children is an economic decision. And I think we need to look at it through that lens, also in the context of people just being able to make the choices that are best for them and their family at that time that that decision is in front of them.
I wanted to ask you, little off track, but you were at the DNC, and what did you see that was different about the DNC Chicago 2024? And
yeah,
you know, can you share what that room was like? And some of us just got to watch it on TV, and you know, it's not the same.
You know, it was so exciting. So this is my first DNC, and I kept on asking some folks that I was with, like, you've been to other ones. Are they all like this? I mean, the energy and the excitement that was there. And I got to be honest, you know, going to a convention, a 4-day convention where you've got breakfast and then you're up, you know, late into the night and all this stuff, they're exhausting. You know, there's the fun balloon drops and all that kind of stuff, but those conventions are exhausting. But I have never been more energized and exhausted at the same time. I mean, you know, it was just amazing to see incredible speakers like Michelle and Barack Obama, to be able to stand and acknowledge our President Biden, who did probably the most patriotic thing any of us have ever seen in our lifetimes, with stepping away from the ultimate power position for the betterment of our country. And it was so honoring to be able to stand there and applaud him in that moment for that time. And then also to watch Kamala walk out and accept the nomination was absolutely an amazing time. And I think, you know, when she first walked out, you know, because a lot of us were actually dressed in white that night. A lot of us women were dressed in white. And, you know, I think I just assumed that she would be dressed in white, being the first woman and in a nod to the suffragettes. And she came out in this navy blue suit. And it was so incredible because, yes, she will be our first woman president, but she was taking that nomination as Kamala Harris, the former vice president, the former senator, not as the first woman to do this. And I think that was an amazing moment as well.
Assembly person Jody Emerson, we're not going back.
We're not going back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'm gonna put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here on Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting across Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. We are always trying to move the state forward, and I am so honored to have Karen Kirsch with us today. Hello, Karen.
Well, hello, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, who are you? And are you into politics, and are you running for something in 2024?
Yeah. I have a little project going on. So I actually, right now, I am currently a campaigns director at Citizen Action of Wisconsin. So a lot of people know me through that role. I've done a lot of work around healthcare, public policy. And I also, before that, I was pretty involved in the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as well. But before that, in my previous life, I worked in the private sector. So I was an advertising and marketing executive for almost, well, I don't want to say how many years. A woman never tells her age, right?
You know, it's a modern world. It's a modern world. I mean, I think the fact that you have actual experience in the private sector is important. So please share it.
Yeah. So I worked in advertising and marketing at a national level firm on big brands that you might recognize if I were to say their names. Not necessary. We don't need to promote capitalism here, but... But yeah, so, and I worked as a producer and I was an advertising executive for many years. And I really enjoyed that role. I got to work with a lot of really creative people and I managed budgets. And I really understood a lot of the pressures that people have when they're working in an office or when they're working in the private sector. And I understand a lot of what the goals are a lot of times of the private sector. And I did enjoy it. That particular section, well, actually, is there any section of the economy that is not prone to layoffs? I'm not sure there is, but that particular section can be prone to layoffs. And eventually I did get laid off, but by then I was starting to work in politics. So then I just kind of jumped into politics and started working in politics. So that's how I made the transition. And I really don't regret it. I did take a little bit of a pay cut, I'm going to admit, but it was more meaningful work because I started to work as a healthcare organizer. So that's where I started to talk to a lot of people about how they've been burned by our healthcare system. And I really got to know a lot of people and heard some terrible stories about how people were impacted by our system. Even people that have healthcare coverage are being burned by our healthcare system, just to be clear, not just people that aren't covered. And I really learned a lot and got to know a lot of people, and I don't regret it. So that's a little bit of the background of how I got here.
So the you're in the race for the 7th district, right?
Yes. So, yes. Yes.
And you're running at a time when we have fairer maps across the state, and where Democrats may actually be able to have some say in a legislative sense and not just rely on our Governor Tony Evers to protect us from the far right. So tell me, what got you into the 7th, and what do you think you bring to the 7th and to the broader Democratic Party in terms of moving the state forward?
Yeah, let's just say I have really good timing, right? We have a new optimism with the new maps. And I feel like we have a good shot at getting the assembly at least. And with that, we can finally make some progress. So the incumbent was Dan Riemer, who I admired and who was actually a healthcare champion himself. So I thought it's kind of a perfect shift. I am also a healthcare champion, so there won't be much of a gap when it comes to that particular subject. And I just think about all of the people that I talked to through the years and all of their stories. I carry them with me when I think about the work that I want to do and the progress that I want to make for them to give them some kind of a relief. Because without healthy people, we don't have healthy communities. So that's one of my equations that I have a couple of equations that I talk about, but that's my main one. Healthy individuals, healthy people equal healthy communities. So I'm going to be really working hard on a couple of topics and making sure that, you know, maybe we can move the needle on some of these topics.
So what are these couple of topics that you really think, well, you may be able to move the needle on?
Well, thank you for asking. So yeah, so the first one is obviously Medicaid expansion. So we're the only Midwestern state that has not taken Medicaid expansion. There's only a handful of states left that have rejected it. It was kind of a little bit of a retribution against President Obama when he passed the ACA, that some of the states decided to turn down federal money. So just to be clear, that's our money that we paid to the federal government. They want to send it back to us to help Wisconsinites have health care. And Scott Walker decided not to take our own money back and to help Wisconsinites. So we've turned down a lot of money, billions, billions of dollars since 2011. So that's going to be a priority. I hear a lot about people, they want relief from taxes and expenses. And I just think about all the money that we're constantly turning down, and we're actually paying more right now to cover less people in Wisconsin because we're turning down this federal money. So that's a priority. Another priority for me is lowering prescription drug prices for people. I talk to people on the doors and people are telling me that they're rationing their medications. One woman in my district is taking her inhaler every other day, Mark, every other day. She needs to take it every day, but she's trying to save money. So there are some things we can do at the state level to lower prescription drug prices. There's things that other states have done, and we can do them too. One of them is a prescription drug affordability board. So I want to try and be a champion for that cause and to get healthy people so we can have healthy communities.
Thank you, Karen Kirsch, running for the 7th District Assembly District, committed to making Wisconsin a better place, a safer place, always moving forward. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Wisconsin this hour, Donald Trump holding a rally in Mosinee, Wisconsin, and Kamala Harris is in Pittsburgh, both gearing up for Tuesday's presidential debate. Harris is also getting some advice from one of Trump's former rivals.
Hillary Clinton debated former President Trump three times in 2016. Her advice for Kamala Harris in the New York Times: be prepared for Trump to not go into specifics and instead just try to tear into her. Clinton advising Harris not to be baited and instead use her prosecutorial background, saying Trump does not know how to respond to substantive direct attacks. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Today marks 11 months since the October 11th Hamas attacks in Israel. In Tel Aviv, thousands of Israelis taking to the streets demanding their prime minister finalize a ceasefire and hostage release deal. And in Louisiana, a 22-story high-rise in Lake Charles was demolished today. The Hertz Tower has been vacant for nearly 4 years. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers lose in the season opener in more ways than one. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Green Bay Packers lost 34-29 to the Philadelphia Eagles. More concerning, however, is the status of quarterback Jordan Love, who was helped off the field with an apparent leg injury late in the game. Head coach Matt LaFleur didn't have any answers immediately following the game.
I don't know.
While the Packers had some bright spots, such as Jaden Reed's big game at receiver, it wasn't enough to slow down the Eagles.
Very disappointed. There was a lot of opportunities out there to win the game. We weren't good enough in the red area. We were plus two winning the football, and ultimately didn't score enough points to win the game. I mean, give Philly a ton of credit. They made some big plays.
The Packers are off until September 15th when they'll take on the Indianapolis Colts. The Brewers play the Rockies today, coming off a 3-2 loss yesterday, and the Badgers play South Dakota in football this afternoon. For Civic Media, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny, low 60s today. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 42. Mostly sunny with a high near 73 on Sunday. It'll also be quite breezy out of the west. For Sunday night, clear 47. Sunny and warmer Monday, 80.
Right now, it's 62.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. Greg Liana joins the show to tell us where we can see his indie film classic, and casting director Rex Sykes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here on Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting across Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. We are on the other side of Labor Day. We are down the final stretch to November 5th, 2024, the biggest election, some people say, in a long, long, long time, maybe in my whole life. And I am so honored to have Senator Tammy Baldwin, my senator, and the only true senator in the state of Wisconsin with us. Hello, Senator Baldwin.
Hello. It is such a delight to join you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, I thought your insight and your understanding of where we're at this time in history, on the other side of Labor Day, post-DNC, how do you see your race?
Wow. So I have to say that you mentioned the DNC. And I have to make note of the energy and the enthusiasm that we saw and experienced as we watched. And I got the honor of being there on the last night and making some remarks and then listening to our nominee accept the nomination. And so there's a ton of energy there. And I also had the chance and honor to participate in several Labor Day events on September 2nd, and was seeing a continuity, a continuation of that energy and momentum. I think people understand the stakes of this election from the top of the ticket to the bottom of the ticket. And I think they understand that democracy is on the line, our rights and freedoms are on the line, and our pocketbook issues are also on the line. And we see it clearly in the contrast between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. But I don't want to ignore the excitement I'm seeing at the grassroots level now that Wisconsin has fair maps. And all of that, I think, impacts my race for U.S. Senate, where the contrast between my opponent and myself could not be more stark, whether that's on the issue of abortion rights or on the availability of high-quality, affordable care, health care, where I helped write the Affordable Care Act and he wants to take it away. My work lowering prescription drug prices and his criticism of that work, or keeping the pillars of our progress over the last century, Social Security and Medicare, around for generations to come. That's my commitment. While he wants to cut these programs, raise the retirement age, all so that he can pass a $4 trillion extension to the Trump tax cuts that primarily benefit the ultra wealthy like himself and large corporations. So that was a long-winded answer, but I feel energy and momentum. I feel that from the top of the ticket to the very bottom of the ticket. But I also know we are the battleground state, and we will probably decide who the next president is, which party controls the Senate, the House, and whether we make progress as a state once again with a fair and representative legislature.
You know, let me just jump in. It seems to me your work on health care and women's rights really is right at front and center, especially for many, many young women, women across the board, people of color. You know, how do you go out on, you know, day to day and tie this to the economic situation? It seems to me, you know, prescription drugs, adequate health care, that's all part of the economic package.
Absolutely. And so is reproductive freedom. I mean, look at before Roe was decided. There were many careers and aspirations cut short because of the expectation that mothers should not be a part of the workforce. All that changed when women gained control of their bodies and the decisions about when and whether to have families, when and whether to have children. And so it obviously has an economic impact. But look, people are very concerned about the high price of things. And I see such relief right now as we have been able to bring down price of things like insulin to no more than $35 per month out of pocket for seniors. We're working hard to do that for everyone else. Recently, I had a major victory holding the manufacturers of asthma inhalers to account. We launched an investigation in January into the major manufacturers. They were charging between $200 and $650 per inhaler. And by launching our investigation within a few months, three of the four manufacturers came to us and said, we're voluntarily going to lower the price of asthma inhalers to no more than $35 per month out of pocket. If you're in a family with someone with asthma, That is a big deal. Keeping health care, especially in the Affordable Care Act, affordable is something that's extremely important to me, because I remember one of the reasons I was ever motivated to run for office is because I saw that we had a broken healthcare system that was excluding too many people. And there were huge disparities and inequities. People were priced out. That is my calling. And I continue to work on those issues.
You know, people forget there were used to be all these pre-existing, you know, conditions, exclusions that would virtually bankrupt people. And, you know, your opponent, you know, he comes, you know, spends a lot of time in California, and now he's here. He really doesn't have anything to say to working people and the majority of Wisconsinites on these issues, right?
I think the direction has mostly been attacks and fear instead of recognizing the challenges that we have and figuring out ways to work together for solutions. That's been the way I operate as a public servant and a United States senator. We've got to find that common ground on defining what the challenges are. And we may have different ideas about how to respond, but then you compromise and negotiate and come to a solution. You know, I think my opponent is an example of the polarization that we're seeing. And I think that my successes legislatively, many of them, most all of them, because in the Senate, you have to have bipartisan support to pass legislation. It has been that focus on, you know, agreeing on what the challenges are and then coming together for solutions.
You know, you talked about Labor Day and you were very busy out there. What do you see from labor in terms of the response to you and your opponent?
Well, first of all, we can talk about some accomplishments that have really helped strengthen labor. First of all, I always start by bragging about Wisconsin's really strong progressive labor traditions and reminding people that during the time of Scott Walker as governor, we had a major setback. And at the local level, we have got to figure out ways to restore our progressive legacy. But at the federal level, we have some real things to point at. The infrastructure legislation is really a 10-year measure to rebuild our roads and bridges, but also to get broadband to every part of our state and our country, every resident, every business. And that is creating a lot of new high-paying union jobs. The trades are doing very well. I'm not saying there's not challenges out there, but we've had some really historic accomplishments, including the CHIPS and Science Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. All of these are bringing jobs back to America, in part because of My Buy America rules that I've had attached to these pieces of legislation that say if we're spending tax dollars, they have to support U.S. workers and U.S. small businesses. And we're seeing the results even here in Wisconsin already. But we also have challenges at the federal level. We have been trying to pass a bill called the Protect the Right to Organize Act, otherwise known as the PRO Act, for years now. And we have got to get it across the finish line. There are so many instances where workers are trying to organize in their workplaces, and large corporations or smaller corporations are doing everything within their power to prevent that from happening. Launching campaigns, attacking or discharging workers who are trying to organize. And we have to have a National Labor Relations Board that is a clear referee and not taking sides and making sure that the corporations in union drive efforts are not cheating, are playing by the rules. And so I can't wait for an opportunity when reelected to advance the PRO Act.
It's really potentially exciting time in America. If Harris Walz cross the finish line, and you've crossed the finish line, we have a real opportunity to rebuild a strong middle class in, you know, in the States and in Wisconsin. And I think so many people forget that without strong unions and solid wages, you cannot have a middle class. And how do you see that playing out, you know, fairs around the state? You know, we got, I don't know what, 60 some days now, right?
Yeah. So, well, I think it's a combination of ensuring strong labor laws in our country and restoring them in the state of Wisconsin. I think it's also about recognizing the issues people do have with the high cost of things, including groceries, including their health care and their prescription drugs, and keeping on fighting to lower those costs, recognizing that people are having trouble accessing and affording childcare and housing. And I have been proud to be a leader in that fight to secure, to allow people to be able to find affordable childcare, and helping childcare and daycares start up and being able to pay their workers fair wages and provide benefits. That's only how we're going to make it work. But I do see a very strong economic future with a Harris-Walz ticket. And I'm going to be continuing to be on the side of working people while my opponent seems to not even get Wisconsinites through what he says and does, and understands more the lifestyles of the wealthy and bank owners like himself.
Yeah, and we should say the very, very wealthy. It's not just, I mean, this is like the elite top greater than 1%. but here, let me just wrap up here with you. You know, women for years had the right to make decisions. 30 seconds. How do you go out there and move Wisconsin to get us to the back to right to choose?
Well, I lead the Women's Health Protection Act, which would restore Roe at the federal level. While I don't have 60 votes yet to overcome a filibuster, I do have a plan. And that is how we are going to restore all the rights and freedoms that were lost when Roe was overturned in the Dobbs decision. My opponent celebrated that moment, and he owns the chaos that has ensued. We're going to restore these rights.
Thank you, Senator Tammy Baldwin, my senator and yours. We are not going back.
We are not going back. Forward is Wisconsin's motto.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, this is attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are on Civic Media Radio Network, broadcasting across Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. I am really excited to have Assembly Representative from the 91st District, Jody Emerson, with me, and Karen Kirsch, a candidate for the Assembly District 7, to sort of just talk about the present and the future, right? So 2024 is really a unique system, time. We got new maps in Wisconsin, and we've got Kamala Harris and Tim Walz at the top of the ticket. How do the two of you see that impact in your races, and how do your races impact the top? And do we have new energy out there on the ground at the doors? What's up? Who wants to go? Jump in.
Yeah, I'll start off. It has been so amazing to see the number of people coming into, I have my office for my campaign out of the Eau Claire Democratic Resource Center. And so that kind of, it's a freestanding office that we have year round, and everybody knows to go there to get signs and ask questions and things like that. And we have people in and out all day long, people calling, when are the Harris signs going to be, you know, we're working on it. But, you know, they'll stop in to pick up a Harris Walz sign, which aren't in yet, and leave carrying a Baldwin and a Cook and an Emerson sign. And, you know, half the time we've signed them up for a phone bank shift or a door knocking shift. And it has just been so incredibly exciting. The number of volunteers that are just showing up and saying, put me to work. I don't care if I have to just empty the garbage. I just want to help. It's an excitement that we haven't seen in the office since probably 2008. And we know how that election went for Dems up and down the ticket.
How about you, Karen? What are you seeing?
Yeah, so I can confirm. So I'm in the Milwaukee area. District 7 covers Greenfield, West Dallas, Milwaukee. So Jody's diagonally across the state, but those vibes are traveling down here. We got the same thing going on. Every door is easy. Every door wants to be rated the highest. When I ask them how they feel on a scale of 1 to 10, they want me to rate them the highest. They want signs. We're working on getting the signs, everyone. They're coming. They want my signs too. And I do want to encourage people, remind people to vote down ballot. And it really is helpful when people do put up signs for their assembly candidates, just to remind people about how important the down ballot races are. But I will say the enthusiasm has definitely changed with Kamala at the top of the ticket, and people love Coach Walz. Things are going great.
You know, it hit me when Kamala Harris said, we're not going back. You know, this notion, because there is this far right nostalgia somehow that sometime long back in history, life was really better. And, you know, it's how do you see that message resonating? I mean, and do you see young people and women like angry at the changes that happened because of Trump? You know, I mean, Roe's gone. I mean, how is that playing out?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, right after the Dobbs decision, there was a lot of anger and a lot of justifiable anger. You know, all of a sudden, women weren't available to make the most intimate decision about their bodies that they could. I haven't seen the anger as much as I've seen the determination that we have a chance now to change things, and we're not going to blow it. And this isn't necessarily even a conservative versus liberal stance. I've talked to women who voted Republican their entire life. I've talked to men who voted Republican their entire life. I had one in the office the other day who said, you know, as soon as Trump made my wife not a full person, we can't finish the phrase because we're on the air, but you know, you get the picture. He wanted to donate to the Harris campaign. And I mean, this is somebody who voted for Trump twice before. And all of a sudden, when it hits you, then it's different. Then it's something that it's okay if we're making changes to somebody else's life, but when we start making changes to your life, then people are fed up with it. So
what's West Dallas saying, Karen?
Yeah, same. I had I talked to a man on the Doors that was concerned for his wife. So his wife has the condition of, and I did not know this until he told me this, his wife has the condition of endometriosis, which is a really painful condition. So not only she has to deal with that, it also puts her at risk for ectopic pregnancies, which I didn't know. So he's legitimately worried for his wife and worried like could we be criminally prosecuted if something happened where we needed to save her life, or worse yet, could she die because the hospital needs to, you know, get permission to save her life? They're all worried about being, you know, prosecuted or things like that. So definitely we cannot go back is definitely resonating with people. And I think that we're going to see some good results in November, but we really need to encourage all of our friends, all of our relatives, everyone we know to get out there and to make sure that everyone is voting.
No, that's what I was going to say. 30 seconds each on what do your friends and neighbors have to do to win this thing?
Yeah, I think we need to start by showing up at the polls. And it's not just about getting Kamala Harris elected. It's about making sure that we elect Tammy and so that she's got a Senate that can confirm the judges that she needs. And it makes sure that we have a House that's going to get her the bills that she needs. And we need to do the same thing in Wisconsin. We have got a grand opportunity to flip the state legislature this year in the assembly. We cannot pass it up. Everybody needs to get out there and needs to vote all the way down ballot. Because the closer the office is to you, the more impact it has on your life.
Karen, you got the last 10 seconds. Send us home.
Yeah, I mean, even if, say you don't like to make phone calls or things like that, you can help your local assembly candidate even by driving them, and they don't have to double back to their car when they're doing Doors. Volunteer for that.
Thank you, Karen Hirsch. Thank
there's
you.
There's other things you can do. You can help deliver signs. There's lots of things that you
Thank
can do.
Thank you,
to help
Jody Emerson. Folks, we're not going back. We are not going back. Forward, Wisconsin.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome former State Senate Majority Leader Democrat Tim Cullen to the program to talk about his new book and great foundation helping Wisconsinites. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris campaigning this weekend in battleground states, both prepping for Tuesday's debate with very different styles.
Trump's team says that talking to voters, joining these town halls, joining these interviews, that's all a part of the debate prep that shows that he can go unscripted with reporters and others for hours on end. Now, Vice President Harris, on the other hand, taking a little bit more of a traditional approach. We are told that she has done at least 2 mock debates, that she is focused on what her strategy will be on the debate stage.
ABC's M. Nguyen. Tensions remain high in the Middle East. Israelis are demonstrating, calling for a ceasefire and hostage release deal 11 months after the October 7th Hamas attacks. And Israel is facing criticism over the shooting death of an American Turkish woman this week in the occupied West Bank. Polls closed after voting in Algeria, voters deciding if they'll re-elect the current president. Authorities say they